Hello, this is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, a podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. And joining me today again is Blake Weiland, who you might know by now from his own podcast called The Tone Mob, another equally great podcast. Hey, Blake.
Hello. Here we are. We're back doing it again.
We are back again at the microphone. So it's been a weird, because normally we release these on like Mondays or Tuesdays or somewhere near there as close as we can. But I've been stupidly crazy for the past week and I'll be completely stupidly crazy for the next week. So this is kind of like an intermediary show for you.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. So, well, this is going to drop Thursday or Friday or something, which is kind of weird. Yeah,
right.
Somewhere in that ballpark. But it'll be like in between, like instead of doing two episodes, we'll do one and we'll put it in the middle of when we would have put in two episodes.
Right.
So sorry about that, folks.
So normally for good, you know, what you get as a customer is two for one. This is a one for two, you know?
That's right. Well, and we should say there's a good reason for that. At least to this, you know, you've got crazy things going on this week, but next week. We're both going to Nashville, but not exactly at the same time, which is apparently how we like to travel.
That is very true. I am, I'll be in Knoxville for the, I think it's called the Wood Fest. Is that what it's called? Let me double check my notes here. Cause I know it's Andy Wood is putting it on. Let's see who else is going to be there. Joe Bonamassa is going to be there. And, let's see. Oh, shoot. Drawn blank. Brent Mason's going to be there. Andy Timmons is going to be there. And Mark, I never can pronounce his last name. Mark Leteri, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe he'll be there as well. And apparently they asked me to hop in for a tone session. So I guess I'm going to be talking about guitar tone type stuff. The Woodshed. So if you want to know more, it's the woodshedguitarexperience.com. Time is limited because it's like next week. So I think there's still a few spots open. In fact, I need to send a newsletter out regarding that. But you should go. It'd be really cool. It's a very limited thing. So there's like 100, I think there's 100 spots. Don't quote me, but I think that's what it is. So basically what that means is you'll actually get to hang with all these people and pick their brain, you know, maybe eat with them. You'll get to watch them like scratching their butt and stuff, which you don't generally get, you know, you don't generally get to see that when you're hanging out with rock stars. But this is special. There's actually a butt scratching session they're going to be doing.
Wow. Maybe I'm glad that I missed that part then. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. It's actually, I said Knoxville. It's close to Knoxville. It's actually Crossville, Tennessee. August 27th to 30th. And let's see if... I'm sorry. I missed someone. Greg Cox is going to be there as well.
Oh yeah. Just him?
I just... he's the only person I missed, unfortunately. But yes.
Okay. Some heavy hitters at that joint.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. I'm still trying to figure out why they asked me to be a part of it, but I'll take it. We'll run with it.
Yeah, and... much in the same fashion as we have done in the past. It was a couple of years ago. I was like, hey, Brian, I'm going to New York City next week. And you're like, really? Me too. And it's like, hey, when do you get there? I get there this day and I leave this day. I'm like, oh, good. You get there the day I'm leaving, which is the same situation as what is happening here. I am leaving the day that you arrive. So you got to time this better.
I think you're timing it that way on purpose. I'm kind of convinced at this point.
No, because if I would have known that this thing was going on, I would have definitely figured out how to make it happen. But it's a little late now.
It is a little bit late unless you just happen to hop into it real quick and book a ticket and all that good stuff. But I mean, it's a cool place, actually. It's this big campgrounds type thing. So you'll stay in a cabin. And I say cabin. These are actually pretty nice cabins. It's not like a shack in the middle of the woods. They're pretty nice cabins, but it's got a big lake and like it's a really cool place. It's not only just guitar stuff. I mean, it is for the majority of it, but there's other things to do if you get tired of playing guitar. You can like go hang out at the campgrounds and do fun stuff.
So it's all outdoors too.
Yeah, it's all outdoors. So, you know, all the social distancing and all that kind of stuff, it's all going to be in effect. I'm sure there's not going to be any, you know, hand licking involved or anything like that. You're not allowed to lick anyone's hands.
I had to get rid of that session for this year.
Yeah, that session is a no-go for this year.
Last year, you could have licked everybody's hands, but
last year was wide open on the hand licking. Not so much this year, you know?
Uh-huh.
But that's all right. That's all right.
Well, I'm going to Nashville from Monday through, I'll be there Sunday, and I'm leaving Friday, but I will be doing electrical work the whole time on the Stringjoy, well, the new Stringjoy shop, prepping for their big move they'll be having here soon. So that's what I'm doing, which is a little bit less exciting.
That's not too exciting, Blake. No. I'll be thinking about you when I'm hanging out with Bonamassa, you know, watching him scratch his butt, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to be doing.
You're really fixated on this. I'm not really sure why.
I have no idea. But it should be fun. I think I'm going to say, Joe, all right, let's get down to nitty gritty here. What's the deal with the guitar pedal thing, man?
Yeah, you really got to grill him on that.
I do.
Yeah. What's going on, man?
Hold his feet to the fire on it. You know?
You know, if you could swing some extra content out of this somehow, you probably can't. These guys are probably really busy with the things they're already committed to, but that would be cool if it was possible.
I'll see. Yeah, I might be able to do something, you know? It's hard telling. I'll know when I get... I mean, I always take my stuff with me whenever I go anywhere, just in case. Mm-hmm. So I'll have everything with me, but a lot of times you just don't know till you get there. Sometimes there's a lot of downtime and other times there's like no downtime. So we'll see.
Yeah, every event and every meeting up with people is... That's not a thing. I said that really dumb. But you know what I mean. Every time you go to do something like that, it's always different. That's been my experience so far. Any like backstage stuff I've gotten to do, you know, I get there and I'm like, well, I don't know where to go. I don't know like who the tour man. I know the tour manager's name, but I don't know what he looks like. You know, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where we're going to be recording. I've recorded in noisy, quote unquote, green rooms that were really not really green rooms. You know, it's a weird experience.
If you just start doing things that you're not supposed to do, you'll find out who the manager is real quick. You know, maybe just start turning all the knobs on amps and stuff like that. You know, mm-hmm. maybe pick up a guitar and start playing your favorite Eagles riff. You know,
mm-hmm.
Things like that.
You'll find that. And you're like, oh, you're the manager. I've been looking for you.
That's the best way.
Yeah.
Set your drink on top of the dumbbell. You know, stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's the manager signal. It's like the bat signal, but for the manager.
That's exactly what it is. So you were starting to tell me about this pedal situation. You said, I've got a pedal situation. And he said, oh, we should record.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was in reference to what happened right before we started recording where you realized your microphone was not plugged in. I had a very similar experience. Oh, I was trying to figure out why this pedal was broken. I was like, this is a finely built pedal. It's never let me down before. I even opened it up to see if something fried, if I accidentally plugged in the 18 volt, which I had checked and double checked that I hadn't, but I thought maybe I did something wrong. And I was really trying to figure out because the pedal was turning on and there was no sound. So I grabbed another pedal, plugged it in the same way, and that one wasn't working either. And I was like, what is going on? And then I realized I was plugged into the wrong guitar cable. So, you know, I'm pretty familiar with effects. I'm pretty familiar with signal chains at this point in my life. But always double check before you call the manufacturer and tell them their pedals broke, because I work with a lot of pedal people. And not to say that it's never the pedal's fault, but 9 times out of 10, it's something else that is causing the issue. So
I've got a good one for you. Okay. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on with a particular circuit I'm working on, right? And I'm like, why is this thing not powering up? What is going on? Sort of similar to you. But The issue that I noticed I was having after a few minutes of being a complete idiot was I was trying to put the power source into the expression jack rather than the power jack. And it's just one of those complete brain fart moments where I'm like, what are you doing, Brian? You know, that's that was basically me talking to myself, see? And I'm like, you should know better than this. That's a rookie move, Brian, you know? And I fixed it after that. And that's all I've got about that.
Well, good job. And I've done that exact same. I've done that. I've also done the plug the input into the expression and wonder why I wasn't getting any sound.
Been
done
there.
That one before. Yep. Yeah. I've had it not plugged into the amp when I thought that it was, but it was actually plugged into another amp that wasn't turned on. And you name it. I've had just about every routing snafu you can imagine because I'm not that smart. So there you go.
That happens. That happens that way. So there is a thread on Fuzztopia. It's a Facebook group. There's also another thread on the Wampler group, but the Fuzztopia group seems to be not particularly liking this product. I'm trying to find it right now. And of course I can't find it because I don't know. 1 second, I'll be able to tell you. So let's see. It's a battery power supply, I guess, by Kingtone.
Mm-hmm.
Battery box, it's called.
Oh, yes. Yes. There we go. I found the thread myself. Okay.
Okay. So it's kind of, I mean, I'm not sure what to call it. It kind of looks like a battery charger, but what it's actually for is for powering your pedals via a 9-volt battery rather than using a power supply. You stick these batteries into this device and you'll be able to power your pedals from these batteries. So there's a couple of things that's weird to me. First of all, I really don't like batteries. I think they're just bad for the environment overall, of course. The downside is that most of our customers really prefer to have the ability to have a battery component to a pedal, and another large portion of our audience kind of expects a battery to be in the pedal whenever they buy it. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of, I mean, as a company, we're kind of stuck. Like if we don't do that, we're letting down a big portion of our audience. And that's, as a business, that's never a good thing to do. You generally want to do things that please your customers. So as a result, we have battery snaps and batteries in pedals. But I would say in certain situations, yes, a battery does sound different. But for a big majority of situations, I don't think it's that big of a difference. In fact, it probably can have some bad parts to it. I don't know. I think it depends how you're looking at it. If you're looking at a fuzz type of circuit, a lot of transistor fuzz circuits can really be more sensitive to the way a battery is kind of supplying the electricity versus a power supply. And from that point, yes, I mean, you can kind of feel and hear the difference a little bit. I mean, and some of that might be, in the old brain as well, but
a little bit of placebo effect,
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I don't think it matters, excuse me, so much in it. I think it really depends on the circuit. This is just my experience, and I don't know that much about electronics. But like when I power up, I have some FV1 digital-based pedals that have batteries, and it sucks the life out of them real quick. But you can power them via battery. Sonically, there's no difference on those. On, like you said, like a vintage fuzz face or something. I feel like I can tell a difference, but I don't know if I actually am or not. It seems to me that there's a difference, but I don't really know. Most overdrives and things like that, I can't really tell a difference myself. It's really only like vintage fuzzes that I can tell a difference, and it's subtle enough to me that I'd rather just have a power supply personally. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I'd almost always just use a power supply unless I need a pedal for, 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
But overall, especially if there's any sort of, requirement for a lot of current, like a DSP bass pedal or something, I'm not, more than likely I'm not going to use a battery, because I don't want it to start to not be able to provide enough current. And on some pedals, it'll just make it act really weird. On other pedals, they just won't work. So I'd rather just have a good power supply and it work.
We'll be right back.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions, and we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in, and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
The biggest case for batteries, in my opinion, is in vintage style fuzz circuits, and they are quieter. You know, if you live in a place where your power's kind of dirty, you know, and your washing machine's running, that could introduce some noise into your signal chain. And in that case, a battery would be preferred because it's completely isolated from all that stuff. Even if you're using a power supply that is isolated, sometimes some of that can sneak in. So that would be the main argument for batteries, in my opinion.
Yeah, that can be true. Yeah, batteries can be quieter. In fact, when we have customers that have an issue with the pedal, one of the things we'll try to get them to do is to basically disconnect the pedal from everything else. So guitar into the pedal, into an amp, and then use a battery source if possible. You know, preferably a brand new battery, just so you can eliminate the power supply problems altogether. And then from there, you can kind of narrow down. Okay, so what's going on? Maybe it's not getting enough current, or maybe it's daisy chained with too many pedals and causing other problems, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, and we've talked about power noise things before, and I don't probably 120 episodes ago, I told the story of my friend's electric dog fence causing noise in his studio, which is not something anybody would have ever thought, because he had spent all this money making the studio super isolated and on its own power and all this stuff, but yet the electric dog fence was causing this weird static hum in certain situations. So electricity can be weird when it comes to sounds. So you never know.
Very much,
with some
yeah.
of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, electricity is weird in general, to be honest. I mean, there's some weird things that happen that that just cause problems. And I know that seems a little vague. So like, for example, if you're laying out a circuit board, you don't want two signal paths too close together. Even though they're not touching, they still can cause problems with each other. You can still get some, what do they call it, cross inductance or something. I forget what the term is. But you can get problems from traces being too close, or one particular type of trace being too close to a power trace, for example. Like, there's all different things that can happen. Even though they're not touching, they're just simply too close. So yeah, it's weird.
Because
voodoo electronics.
voodoo. So like, if you can imagine back to high school science class, you know, when electricity is passing through something, it creates a magnetic field around it. And that would kind of explain exactly what you're talking about. So just because the two traces are right by each other, their fields are playing with each other and screwing things up.
Yep.
It's especially true the higher power you go. And in pedals, you know, obviously that's going to be where the power supply comes in. But it's true with other things too.
Yep, very much so. So
look at me talking like I have any idea what I'm talking about. Tricked him.
Yeah. Did you happen to see that Kenny Wayne Shepherd now has a new Strat out?
No, I didn't. I missed that. What's he got?
He did. It is, I'll send you the link here. It is a new Fender Stratocaster. And
Fender Stratocaster.
Of course, Fender just released the Brent Mason Telecaster, last week or 2 weeks ago or something like that. So now a Kenny Wayne Shepherd signature Strat. I'm thinking Fender is looking to make This is a we're going to show you that we're awesome type of ploy.
Oh, man, I'm not a big Strat guy, but that one looks hot.
Right?
Yes. Ooh, I like that. Matching headstock, block inlays. Oh, yeah, I'm about that.
The block inlays, it kind of sounds funky because it's that sort of a Gibson-ish type of thing, mm-hmm. but it looks good on the Strat. It really does.
It does. With the color, it's kind of this, well, what do they call it in here?
Transparent faded sonic blue.
Ooh, yeah, I like that a lot. You don't hear me getting all that excited about Stratocasters that often, and this one looks great. And basically two grand.
Yeah, $2,000 for it. So it's not that much compared to other similar types of guitars, I suppose.
No, it's not. It's not insane. It's not cheap. Don't get me wrong. It's definitely not cheap.
Right. But, yeah, that's not your Squire Strat by any means.
No. Man, it looks so good. I was like, oh yeah, okay, cool, a Strat. And then I clicked on it and I was like, oh, a Strat. Like, wow, I kind of like that.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I'm trying to figure out what kind of pickups are in this thing.
Maybe, I'm doing the same thing. I'm scrolling through this. It just says the trio of single coils are custom voiced to his specs. So I guess they would be Kenny Wayne Shepherd pickups. I guess is the best way to describe them.
I'm not sure what pickups Kenny Wayne Shepherd normally used before this, though. Were they Seymour's or? Not sure.
I honestly have no idea. I do know that whatever you use sound fantastic because we got lucky enough to, for some reason, we was invited to this Fender thing at NAMM where a bunch of people, like Mark Letary was one of them, Daniel Donato, Matteo Sassato, I can't even remember. There was a whole bunch of just monster players. And Kenny Wayne Shepherd closed it out, and he just blew the doors off the thing. It was fantastic.
I've never met him. Never have met him. Seems like a nice guy, though.
I didn't meet him. I just watched him and went, whoa. I've never seen him live before. It was awesome.
Yeah, he's definitely a great player for sure. So, Blake, something I forgot to mention that happened to me about when we were discussing batteries a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I had my own personal negative experience with 9-volt batteries yesterday. And I also had my first positive experience modifying garage door openers. So that's not normally something one does, but in this instance, our garage door wouldn't work. And my wife was telling me that we probably should buy a new one. I'm talking about the outside unit, you know, where you mm-hmm. punch in numbers and the door comes up. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, this has to be something that can be fixed, right? It's probably a dead battery or something. And so I pop the cover off and pull the battery out. And the entire negative terminal of this battery had basically blown up. There was a hole in the battery and just junk was, like, parts of the battery were in places that shouldn't be. And, my first thought was, this is why you generally don't want to leave batteries in electronics for long periods of time. I hadn't changed this battery for years, by the way. So I did notice that it screwed up the battery clip itself as well. So that was a casualty. Went and got my soldering iron and, you know, a few of my soldering tools, I should say, and opened up the unit itself, soldered in a brand new battery clip. Like a champ, you know. The only thing I did not do is install a blue LED. Yeah, I actually use. Yeah, it's got a pedal battery clip in it. There's no such thing as a pedal battery clip, but we'll call it that. We should do branded Wampler battery clips. You know, now that I think about it.
Sure. Yeah, go for it. You know, we joke about it, but Spaceman, they don't sell them. But Spaceman pedals here in Portland, they make their own battery clips, or at least they used to. I have
really?
A couple pedals in which they fabricated their own battery clips, which was interesting.
Spaceman pedals?
Mm-hmm.
I got to see this. Spaceman pedals, battery
It's Spaceman effects, technically. I don't know if that changes anything.
Let's see. I see Spaceman Effects. Yes, but how do I find said battery clip though?
If you Google Spaceman Effects gut shot, you might see something. Otherwise, I will open mine later and show you.
Yeah, I found a gut shot, but I don't see any sort of battery source to it.
They might not do it anymore. Mine are several years old at this point. So they may have moved on from that. I don't really know.
So they made their own? Like, what? How does one... I mean, I know how you would do that, but what's the point of doing that? Does it look cool?
It does look cool. I think that's the main purpose, is that it does indeed look cool.
Yeah, I can't find any pictures. You have to show me.
Yeah, I'll send it to you when we get done with this. But yeah, this is great podcasting for all the listeners.
Oh, this is fantastic.
We're getting nerdy about battery clips. Like, I'll send you a picture of this battery clip.
On the next podcast, we're just going to read an ebook together and not say anything. You know, that's the next podcast.
We'll just nod once in a while and you'll just hear scratching sounds where we scratch our eyebrows.
Right. What page are you on, Blake? I'm on page 45. I'm reading slower than you are. I don't know. But anyways,
where were we going?
So this is kind of a weird podcast, I know, because it's completely off the normal calendar date from our regular podcast. But I promise you, once everything kind of simmers down, but I like my daughter started school this week, so it's kind of thrown a monkey wrench into things, as well as she's in volleyball and a bunch of other things going on with normal life problems that happen. You know, I don't know if you know this, Blake, but I have 5 kids, and sometimes things go off the rails a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of kids, Brian.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's combined though, between a man and I. I have 2, she has 3, so together we have 5, which basically means we're kind of like the Brady Bunch.
That's what it sounds like. Anyway, where were we going with this? Oh yeah, the garage door opener.
Yes.
This is a messed up episode, man. This is so stupid. We're both sitting here going, man, we have so much to do right now.
Oh, this is, and that's a perfect place to end this podcast, I think. So thank you for listening to the Chase the Tone podcast. And as always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, like you could possibly email podcast@wampapedals.com, which goes to me and say, Brian, this last podcast kind of sucked. And I would reply back, I'm sorry, and I will give you a full refund. And you can also email Blake at info@tonemob.com if you'd like to yell at him as well. If you like this podcast, just simply make sure to share it with your friends, bandmates, and others into guitar podcasts. And make sure you check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. Who was your last guest this last episode?
Ooh, man, this last episode was a banger. It was Mario Miner Jr. from Minor Glitch Electronics, and that dude is awesome, and it made for a very excellent podcast. I actually got a lot of feedback on that one once it dropped through. Like, I've never heard this guy before, but this was awesome, and that is...
Oh, great.
Like my favorite thing, when people find new cool people through the show, and that, yeah, it really resonated with people, and I was excited to put it out. So yeah, great. That's episode great. Over there.
So make sure you check that out. And then if you have any free extra time, maybe stumble upon WamplerPedals.com. So thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.